gentlemen, and welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I am Matt, your host, and today is going to be an awesome day. We're going to be here live for the next 58 minutes, and I told you last week I'm always pumped up about saying live for 58 minutes because it only used to be 28 minutes, and we're going to work on getting it 30 minutes longer if we can do it, so you're going to need to help me out and get that done. But last Saturday, we had a great time at the Bell County Expo Center. It was our first remote broadcast, and it was without a hitch, thanks to Paul, my board operator here. He did a fantastic job, and so many others who helped to make it a success. So remember, if you missed any of our shows, they're all on podcast. Just go to the aaronsgunshop.com website, go to the radio page, and at the top of the page there in the corner, you can just press the play button and listen to the podcast. Also, in the menu icon, you can click on that, and you can play any of the past week's radio programs as well. So we're going to have a good time today. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and I forgot to mention the day. Today is October 17th. We're live today, October 17th. Now, we're going to plan on doing another remote next month, so stay tuned for those details, and I'll let you know what's going on. But I'm going to immediately hit this show hard because we have a lot to get over with. Now, also at the bottom of the radio page, I wanted to remind you there's a place that you can purchase the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program 2016 calendar. This calendar celebrates open carry starting January 1st, 2016. So you've got nice firearms being displayed by lovely women in a classy way. So go ahead and check it out. Support the show by purchasing as many as you can for gifts and one for yourself as well. So again, next month, November, I'll let you know on the dates. It's going to be the next gun show, and we're going to be doing a live remote there as well. So with that, we're going to go right on to our highlights and tell you what's going on the show today. In our CHL segment, I'll be going over Penal Code 9.05, Reckless Injury of an Innocent Third Person. We'll go over the law, definitions, and read a story that will give clarity on the subject. Continuing after that will be the NRA's The Armed Citizen section, where we'll read, analyze, and learn from others as to what to do and what not to do when it comes to defending yourself with a gun. In our PEP section, my special guest will be Dwight Yackel, a 57-year member of the Boy Scouts. He will be answering questions and giving opinions on necessities of being prepared, so it's going to be quite interesting. Our product spotlights will cover secondary tools of defense from Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple, Texas, and backup sites for your AR platform from Blackjack Firearms located in Cameron, Texas. I'll be briefly going over a couple of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moments that should prove very interesting. And my gun demo will go over saddling the slide of an auto pistol. I ran out of time last week, so we're going to do it this week, I hope, if we don't run out of time. And, of course, my topic of interest, which today will be political correctness. And my guest for that discussion will be Con Tatum. So stay tuned. Get your pen and paper ready to take notes. And if you want to participate in the show today, the number here at the studio is 773-1400. That's 254-773-1400. But for now, I'm going to move right into our CHL segment, and I'll give you some more information on how to contact us in a little bit. We got a lot going on. I don't want to miss a beat here. As you know, or if you don't know already, I'm certified with the state of Texas as a CHL handgun instructor, a concealed handgun instructor. I've been doing it for many years, taught many people, and I've got lots of information and experience, and I'd like to share it with you. Now, with that said, I support your right to carry firearms. Me personally, I don't care what it is either. However, the state does. So until further notice, obey the laws of the state. Whatever the state's saying you can do to carry that gun, do it. Don't be in violation of the law. I do not, however, support your right to carry a gun if you are clueless on how to use it, or if you only have the common sense of a 3-minute egg. Seriously. Now, I did not say I do not support. I did say I do not support, but I did not say I would restrict. I would rather have freedom with risk than be submissive to government and have neither freedom or security. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? If anybody can quote that, or tell me who quoted that quote, give me a call, 254-773-1400. Okay, so with that opening, let's go over and read Penal Code 905, Reckless Injury of an Innocent Third Person. I'm going to go to my student handbook and just read what we've got here. I've got it highlighted. Reckless injury of an innocent third person. Even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force or deadly force against another, if in doing so he also recklessly injures or kills an innocent third person, the justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable
in a prosecution for the reckless injury or killing of an innocent third person. Huh? What did that just say? Well, we're going to explain it in a minute. But before I go into a story that can kind of give you a better idea, I want to read to you the definitions of force so that when we read the story, you'll have a better understanding as to why it becomes reckless. The first definition is force. The definition of force is resistance that in its actions alone will not cause death or serious bodily harm. Force, resistance that in its actions alone will not cause death or serious bodily harm. Let's move down to the next one, which is reasonable and necessary force. The minimum amount of lawful aggression sufficient for self-protection or protection of a third person. I'll read it again. Reasonable and necessary force. The minimum amount of lawful aggression sufficient for self-protection or protection of a third person. The last definition is deadly force. That definition reads, force that is intended or known by the actor to cause, or in the manner of its use or intended use, capable of causing death or serious bodily injury. Now, let me read that one more time. Deadly force. Force that is intended or known by the actor to cause, or in the manner of its use or intended use, capable of causing death or serious bodily injury. Now, with those definitions, I'm going to read to you one more time, Penal Code 905, reckless injury of an innocent third person, and then read the illustration, the story here, from the Associated Press that gives us a clear-cut example of reckless injury. Penal Code 905, reckless injury of an innocent third person. Even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force or deadly force against another, if in doing so he also recklessly injures or kills an innocent third person, the justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable in a prosecution for the reckless injury or killing of an innocent third person. All right, so we're up to speed now. We know what Penal Code 905 says. We understand what our definitions for force are. Let me read this story to you, and let's try and figure out, let's be detectives and try and figure out what the heck's going on here. This is from the Associated Press. Man gets life for stray shot that killed 9-year-old. Dallas. A Dallas man whose stray gunshot killed a 9-year-old boy eating ice cream on his great-grandmother's porch was sentenced Friday to life in prison in order to pay a $10,000 fine. I always ask this question, how do you pay the fine if you're in prison? But anyway, jurors needed only 1 hour on Thursday to convict Kevin D. McPhail, 25, of murdering Corey Weems. "I feel like bursting out in tune," said Corey's mother, Michelle Weems, after the verdict. "I hope the neighborhood can rest and baby sleep better knowing he's off the streets." Corey's death in May 1994 drew wide attention and provoked outrage from some minority leaders, including whatever. McPhail said, here's the deal. Here's the nuts and bolts. McPhail said he opened fire in response to shots fired at him in a traffic altercation. According to police, McPhail got out of his car to confront several men who were following him and fired in their direction. Corey was one of six children eating ice cream on the porch about 100 yards away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I always stop here on this paragraph because this is the nuts and bolts of it. If we're detectives, we try to figure out what's going on here. Why do you think it's reckless injury? First of all, let's figure out what he did wrong. McPhail, he said he opened fire in response to shots fired at him in a traffic altercation. Well, why the heck would you stay there if you can drive your car and go away? Get out of Dodge, call the police. But he didn't. He got out of his car, and then he went and confronted several men who were following him and fired in their direction. Ladies and gentlemen, wrong. You need to leave. Unless you've got no other options, you should just leave the scene, get help, and not spray bullets. Because then he goes, in the story here, he got out of the car and fired in their direction. When you hear that term, fired in their direction, it gives me the picture of spraying bullets. The gun's up in his hand. He's going from left to right, spraying bullets, hoping he hits something. Well, he did. About 100 yards away, he hit Corey Weems, shot him while he was eating ice cream, dead. So what we do in our training is when we're shooting and we have a miss, we always say, hey, you just weemed somebody. That's because every shot has a destination, and hopefully it's not going to be another human being. So there you have reckless injury of an innocent third person. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why it is so critical that you understand how to use your weapon. Your mind is set. Your body is ready. Okay? and you do whatever you can to avoid it. If you never pull that gun out, you did fantastic. If it comes out, somehow we screwed up and we got in a position where we had to use the gun. Now, with that, if you want to learn more on concealed carry or advanced training, you go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page or go to the CHL page, and there'll be information there for you. I'll talk to you about that a little bit more in a little bit. But we're going to move on, and I'm going to go to our NRA section, because this section helps me explain things, pulls points out of the stories that can help you down the road. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizen page, The American Rifleman. Hopefully, these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. If you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one, because the more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. Okay, so we're going to read three. I've got them in order, and I think you'll find them very interesting. The first one here is from September 2014. It reads, "When a man heard his disabled neighbor cry out for help, he quickly responded. The neighbor had tried to break up a fight between two neighborhood dogs when they turned on him. The dogs attacked him, biting his arms and legs. When the man responded to his neighbor's cries for help, he carried his firearm. He first yelled at the dogs to divert their attention away from the neighbor being mauled. When the dogs started toward him, he shot and killed both animals. The neighbor who was attacked was taken to the local hospital, but his condition was reportedly unknown. The man carrying his firearm was reportedly not harmed during the attack." And that's from California. And let me say something to you about this story. To those of you who still think that legally carrying a rifle in the open while doing a Boy Scout hike with your son still has no merit, again, you are proven wrong. Animals are unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to do. So as long as you're carrying your weapon properly and legally, you should have no problems. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an animal potentially being dangerous. If you don't, give me a call and we'll talk about it. All right, the next story. This one's from January 2015. "We're so worried about rabid animals that sometimes we forget that the animals are in danger." So check this story out. I think you'll get a laugh at this one. Alice Woodruff heard noises outside her home around 10:30 a.m. When she went to investigate, she found a nude man attacking her dog in the backyard. Okay, that's what I said. A nude man attacking the dog in the backyard. Woodruff grabbed her pistol as a family member dialed 911. All right, now listen to this. She then ran to her car to retrieve the gun's magazine. We'll get back to that one in a second. She kept her distance from the man and warned him not to come toward her as he ranted about being with ISIS and having Ebola. He then claimed to be the Antichrist. Woodruff held off the man at gunpoint until police arrived shortly thereafter. After a nearly two-hour chase, the assailant was arrested and is expected to be charged after his release from a psychiatric placement in a local hospital. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're always worried about animals attacking you. Well, this dude was doing something weird to an animal, okay? But one of the key things I want to focus on is, last week or a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned, if you've got a firearm without one in the chamber, and that's the one that supposedly protects you, then there's nothing in the chamber. It's like having a spare tire with no air in it. What good is it? So here she is. She pulls out her gun, but she's got to run to the car to get her magazine to load it up. That's crazy. Keep your stuff together. Keep your chamber ready to go. All right, let's move on to the last one here. God bless Texas on this one. This is plain. This is simple. This is how you do it, okay? This is from March 2015. Bobby Shaw, a 77-year-old Tyler Texan, homeowner, shot and killed a burglar who allegedly invaded Shaw's home. Shaw, who was in his bedroom, heard glass breaking late one December night. He grabbed a shotgun and went to investigate. Shaw spotted an intruder wielding a large tool. When the man charged, Shaw shot him. End of story. Clean, simple. There you go. Anyway, those are the three NRA armed citizens. They did a good job. However, they need a little critiquing on a couple of their points. And hopefully you learn from that as much as I did. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking a one-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to go over our pep section. And we'll have our first guest on, Dwight Yankel, 57-year member of the Boy Scouts. Talk to you in just a minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Once again, today's October 17th. We're live here. In case you want to be a participant in the program, the phone number here to the studio is 254-773-1400, 254-773-1400. If you want to contact me via email, it's aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or you can just go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. We've got lots of classes going on, or start up your own. If you have five or more people and you want to start your own little class up, that's fine too. Just give us a call and we'll take care of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going into our PEP section. And PEP either stands for Practice Eliminates Panic or Preparation Eliminates Panic. It all depends on what actually we're doing in that particular class. Now, today we're going to be talking about preparation, and what better guest to have on than a gentleman who has been registered with the Boy Scouts of America for over 57 years to talk about it. That's right, 57 years. My guest name is Dwight Yackel. I'm going to read Dwight's bio, and I asked him to trim it down since it's a very long one with many accomplishments. So he has given me the most current things, organizations that he's involved with, and I'm now about to read to you his bio. Okay, so let me do that for you, Dwight, so everybody knows who you are, and then we'll introduce you so you can say hi. Dwight here is currently registered as a chartered organization representative, a unit commissioner, the Longhorn Council Advancement Chairman, and a member of the Longhorn Council Executive Board. In other words, I volunteer on the unit, district, and council levels of scouting as a core, and you got to explain what that is. I interface between our chartered organizations and the troop to keep the leaders up to date on training and program activities. As a unit commissioner, I assist units when they have problems or need assistance in training or to help answer questions about the program. As the Council Advancement Chairman, I am responsible for keeping everyone aware of the Scout Advancement requirements and make sure everyone follows the same rules. We investigate and mediate when someone thinks an Eagle Board of Review is conducted improperly or if an extension to complete the Eagle requirements is justified. We also review application for Scouts with special needs. As an executive board member, I'm a member of the team to ensure the council is providing the best program available for the youth in our council. Also, to make sure we have the best camps to give the youth the best week-long camp experience ever. Lady, that's a short bio. Okay, it goes a mile long, but we're going to leave it at that. And I'm now going to introduce to you Dwight Yackel, 57-year member of the Boy Scouts. Dwight, how you doing?
Good morning, Matt.
Glad to have you on board here.
Thank you so much.
Dwight, now what I do with all my guests is I ask them if they'd like to be on the show. And then when they say yes, I go, okay, well, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to write them down. I'm going to send them to you. This way you can meditate on them and give us a really good, thorough answer. I put none of my guests, ladies and gentlemen, are on the hot seat here. It's totally open. And so what we're going to do right now, Dwight, once I find my questions, and here they are, we're going to start asking you questions. We got to about the top of the hour here. We got about 10 minutes. So, you know, I might cut you off a little bit if we're running out of time. Don't take it personal, okay?
Not a problem.
So we're going to start off now. Dwight. You've been in Scouts for 57-plus years, which brings up two immediate questions. One, how old are you, man? And so I don't have to do the math. How old were you when you got started in the Scouts?
Well, some people say I'm older than dirt, but it's not really true. I'm actually 65 years old, and I started scouting as a Cub Scout when I was 8 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you know the ins and outs of it altogether, right?
I hope so.
Now, the way he looks, ladies and gentlemen, for being how old are you again?
65.
I think he's got a picture in the attic. It just keeps getting older and older, and he stays young looking, okay? All right, let's move on to some serious questions here.
Not a problem.
Eagle Scout is one of the biggest achievements a scout can do. I know, because I've had two sons, and they were under your supervision, by the way, who are Eagle Scouts. For those of us out there who may not know what an Eagle Scout is, or what it takes to become one. Can you briefly tell everyone what's involved in getting that achievement?
It's a long story, but the Eagle Scout is the highest advancement rank in the Boy Scouting. In fact, last year, 2014, 51,820 boys made Eagle Scout.
That's in 2015 alone?
In 2014 alone. Okay. There's about 2.25 million since 1911.
Wow, and special things come with being an Eagle Scout, but we'll hold off.
Special things, but very few make it. It's a very, very, very low percentage that actually starts scouting and finishes an Eagle Scout. It takes at least... the goal of Boy Scouts is to make first class, which is three steps in the first year, and then you have star, life, and eagle. And each of those steps have little, I guess, say requirements where you have to earn a certain amount of merit badges, mm-hmm. you have to have a certain time of that you're in the unit, you have to have leadership positions in those units, and then you have to go before a board of review to see that you are qualified to advance to the next step.
To see if you have merit, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You may not know this answer. If you've got 50,000 in 2014, is there a percentage of what it is of overall scouts altogether that are enrolled as being, out of all the scouts enrolled, only a small percentage, that 50,000, what percentage would that be? Do you know?
It's around anywhere from 2 to 7%.
Wow, okay.
It's very low.
Very low.
And it depends on the year and how boys do, whether they stay with the program or not.
That, ladies and gentlemen, when you see an Eagle Scout out there or a Star Scout or a Life Scout, they're doing a lot of hard work to become those levels, especially the Eagle Scout. So if when you see one, look at them a little different and realize they've gone through a lot of stuff. Anything else on that point?
That we can go on.
All right. Question number three. What is the purpose of scouting? What is the concept goal of becoming a scout?
Well, basically, the mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and the Scout Law.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make something very clear here. As much as I am fanatical about dotting your I's and crossing your T's when it comes to concealed carry law, Dwight here is extremely the same way when it comes to Boy Scout. He reads it, understands commas and what they mean and pauses. So when he talks, he's talking the way it is in the book, and that's the way it is by gosh, okay? All right, go ahead.
Okay, and the vision, that's just the mission of the Boy Scouts. Now, you always have to have a vision of what you want to do when you have an organization like this. And the vision, believe it or not, is to have all or every eligible youth in America to become responsible participating citizens and leaders who are guided by the Scout Oath and Law.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
That's the vision. It's like vision, yeah. Baden Powell, who started this, mm-hmm. said, I would like to have world peace. Did he make it? No, he died in World War II. But what would the world be like without his influence?
That's right.
And I keep saying, what would the world be like without our scouting influence?
Understood. Yes, you make
and
a valid point.
And that's why it's so important.
That's how important every person, one person can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen.
Everyone.
All right, can I move on?
Yes.
All right. In all of your years scouting and all the scouts you've seen come and go, do you see the discipline of a scout fade as time goes by? Or in most cases, does his training grow and blossom as he becomes an adult?
I can't say that it diminishes, but the training and experiences of scouting are never, ever forgotten. They always remember it. I've had scouts who have been out of the program for over 20 years. They see me in scout uniform. They come up and shake my hand and says, you know, I used to be a scout, and I dropped out. I sure wished I hadn't. But I still remember the Scout Oath and Law, and I said, thank you.
Can they make a fire?
Some of them can.
That's good.
And we used to have it as a requirement with only two matches. And they said, man, I could do it with one. It's giving them skills to prepare themselves for life.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen Dwight in action. He's excellent. He's very motivated. Maybe if there's some way we can put people together when they're after this program, if they've got children who want to get involved with Scouts, we'll talk about that at the end of the segment, but you might want to contact him. All right, let's go on to number five. In recent years, all right, you ready? You ready out there?
I love it.
In recent years, the ideology of the Boy Scouts have been challenged as the world and as the world and ideology changes, can the Boy Scouts maintain its core values and principles, or does it get watered down by the plague of diversity?
No, we still believe in the Scout oath and the Scout laws. We're a very diverse group. We've always have been. People don't realize that. Yes, there's issues that came up with legal issues that saying, oh, you can't have this particular person join Scouting. We've never really prevented any boy from joining Scouting, no matter what. We still try to instill the values of the Scout oath and the Scout laws into each and every one of these boys. That's why many of them don't stay. And then later on say, wow, I wished I had. Because we have an 18-year-old age limit that once that hits 18, you can no longer become a Boy Scout.
So to recap this and make it simple, if the Boy Scouts has a code of ethics, mm-hmm. and a person wants to become a member,
yes.
as long as they maintain that code, they get to stay in.
Basically, yes. It's a matter of they are participating. We are providing them with the examples and the leadership to, again, provide that Scout oath and that Scout law.
Okay. All right. Very good. Dwight, time's ticking, so I'm going to move on. Would you please say the Scout oath and tell me what you think the most important virtue of Scouting is and why?
What's that now? No. The Scout oath is, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout laws, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
Amen, brother. So what do you think? It's hard to say which one.
Aha.
I'm just throwing that out there.
I have it for you.
What is it?
It's the OMHIWDMB, the letters of the first eight words of the Scout oath. On my honor. That's me. That's integrity,
wow,
right there.
That's good.
On my honor. I. That puts the onus on me to do my best, because that's all I can do. And now, duty to God and my country, that kind of falls in there. To help other people at all times. Wow. That's really good, because if you can help somebody, it makes you feel better. It helps them.
You know, I'm picturing an American flag waving behind you as you're
speaking. Well, hopefully it's there. And then to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. So to uphold the Scout laws, to uphold everything within that Scout oath. That's what we're trying to instill for good leadership and good leaders in America.
Fantastic. Okay, if someone wants to join the Boy Scouts, how does one do it?
Basically, they find a unit, hopefully close to their home. They'll find kids in school that are Scouts, and they'll kind of tag along with them. But they go to a unit and visit, see if it's something they kind of enjoy, and then they ask the unit leader for an application. They take that application, they have to fill it out, they have to get their parents' permission, and then they have to come back and submit that application to be processed through the council.
Good. Okay, so it's relatively simple. Just find a location and then take those steps.
Yes.
Can adults who do not have children in Scouts become involved in Scouting, and in what capacity?
Any adult can join Scouting, and it's the same process. You have to have an application. Now, it's a little more stringent for the adults, because the application has to have approval of the chartered organization of the unit he's actually joining. He also has to, it goes through a background check so that we make sure we have the best, I guess you say, ethical and moral decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got open law. There you go. Make sure we have good people that become examples to young men so that they can succeed in life.
Very good. All right, we just got about 1 or 2 minutes left. I'm always talking about being an active participant in life. In Scouting, Scouts are taught to be good citizens. Explain that for me quickly, please.
Okay, we have requirements, and three of those requirements, believe it or not, are citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the community, citizenship in the world. We used to have citizenship in the home, but they changed it, which I think was a great deal, to family life. So all of a sudden, you've got all the citizenships that they have to learn about local government, national government, and world governments. But there's also things like camping. You think, camping? Citizenship? How does that apply? Well, think about when you go camping. Are you going to pollute waters? Are you going to trash up the area? These are things of citizenship that boys learn. And we, in fact, requirement 10 of the camping merit badge says, what are the things that you did to earn this badge that taught you good citizenship?
Mm-hmm.
So we look to providing, making leaders and making good citizens within the community, nation, and the world.
Fantastic. He is a true participant in life, ladies and gentlemen. Last question, we got to wrap it up.
Sure.
What would you tell parents out there to encourage them to get their children involved in scouting?
Oh, that's kind of a tough one. But basically, scouting is a game with a purpose. We try to make things fun. We prepare boys for camping in the outdoors, giving them life skills and teaching them about being a good citizen. In fact, I had one former scout. He called home to his mom and says, I just got into Baylor Law School because I'm an Eagle Scout. And his mom called and told me about this, which I thought was kind of cool. But what about that 4-point average he had? And what about that leadership positions in the college that he was doing? And what about all that serving other people with service projects in the community that he did? No, it wasn't just about an Eagle Scout. It just so happened that everybody on that particular board were Eagle Scouts.
Yeah.
And so they related on a common ground.
That's right.
But it's the individual that does his thing that makes them great. And Eagle Scouts, all of them, seem to be great.
Dwight, I hate to cut it short. We're running out of time. We actually ran over time. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if there's some way, if you want people to contact you, that's totally up to you. If not, we'll talk about that after the show, and I can address it later. But otherwise, I want to thank you very much for coming in the studio, sharing this. And we're going to take a one-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back, and we're going to be doing a product demo. So we will talk to you in just 1 minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 17th. I'm your host, Matt Bitros, and we just got done with an awesome interview with Dwight Yankel with the Boy Scouts. And now we're going to go right into our product spotlight. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we were at the Lone Star Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center last Saturday with our friends Blackjack Firearms and Centex Tactical Gear. And as I looked on their tables, I saw all kinds of neat stuff. So today on our product spotlight, I want to talk about a few items that caught my attention from Centex Tactical Gear. They had a whole bunch of good stuff there. Their Centex Tactical Gear is located in Temple on West Adams, and their website, if you want to go check them out, is CentexTacticalGear.com. Now, right at when I was looking at the tables, I was scanning them, and the first thing that popped into my eyes here was an Uzi brand tactical glassbreaker pen. With the different things on this pen, you are kind of surprised they have room for the actual pen itself. So I'm going to get this pen over here, and I'm going to show it to some of you on video, and I'll try to explain it to other people listening in radio land here. But on the package, first of all, if you can see the package in the camera, there it is. It is the Uzi Tactical Glassbreaker Pen. Carbide tip glassbreaker. It's lightweight, aircraft aluminum, except standard and Fisher-Price, not Fisher-Price, Fisher Space pen refills. Has a carbide tip glass breaker, built-in cuff key, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I've got one here out of the package. What we've got, if you'll notice here, it's a typical pen in the sense where you can rotate part of the pen and the tip of the pen is hidden at first. But when you rotate it, clockwise, the pen tip comes out and you're able to use this pen just to write like normal. If you decide that there's an emergency or you're being threatened, what you could do is unscrew it just a little bit, and now you have the metal tip sticking out, and you have yourself actually like a dagger or a coupon, I think they call it. So it becomes a nice little defense weapon. The other nice part about it, it's got a knurled handle, so you can hold on to it really well. It won't slip out of your hand. But this is the part I thought was pretty cool. A couple parts. On the tip of the top of the pen, there's a window breaker. And it's a carbide tip, so if you have to smash the window, you grab the pen the opposite way and go ahead and smash the glass, and it breaks the window in case you have to get out of a car or something. So that's a nice little handy gadget. But here's something I thought was pretty cool. If you get arrested and they don't take your pen, you can unscrew the cap of the pen, and inside the cap ends up being a handcuff key. Quite handy if you might need it for all you James Bond kind of people out there. So keeping that in mind, I saw this pen. I thought, hey, that was pretty cool. And when I pulled out the handcuff key, it opened my eyes, and all of a sudden I started seeing all these handcuffs because one led to the other. So I've got the handcuffs are the next thing that I want to talk to you about from Centix Tactical. They got handcuffs too. This little baby's only $20, the pen, so go there and check them out. They're on West Adams and Temple. Before I show you the handcuffs, though, I want to show you what the normal handcuffs look like. Everybody's seen normal handcuffs that people are arrested with by the cops, okay? So this is what it looks like. Two big ones goes around your wrist. The ones that they have here at Centix Tactical, they got those too, but the one I kind of liked was the professional thumb cuffs. Lightweight and compact, double-locked, designed for official police use. That's what it says on the box. This is only about... oh, I don't know, $10-$11 right there. But let me show it to you on the screen. You'll notice it is much flatter, much smaller than your normal cuffs. I can fit the thumb cuffs almost in the same size as just one side of the handcuffs. And all you do, it's basically the same thing as a regular handcuff. You just flip the little locker mechanisms around the person's first joint on their thumb, squeeze it down firmly, not aggressively where you hurt them, and the knuckle will not be able to come out. So you got people with their thumbs, like their hands, their palms are together and their thumbs are together. Well, it locks them into place. So you could carry these on you pretty conveniently in a little pouch, let's say. This is my own pouch, but it doesn't come in one. And you can slip it in the pouch. You can put it on your belt. So it comes in handy. I don't know if somebody's having a seizure, you can lock them down so they don't hurt themselves. But ask your medical doctor first if you can do that. Or if you're into that kinky kind of stuff, you can use the cuffs in that manner too. You know, I'm just saying, people have different things, different needs for different things. Okay. The other thing I wanted to go over was the high-voltage stun gun by Survivor Self-Defense. Ladies and gentlemen, this one's pretty neat. As I pull it out of the package, it looks like about a 3x5 card size, and it's about maybe about an inch thick. It comes in its own nice little belt holster. When you pull it out, this one's pink in color. Let me read the box here. It says something on here that I want you to know. It's rechargeable, which is pretty cool. Comes with a holster and has a safety switch. The first thing, since it is rechargeable, if you can see it on the screen, on the bottom, if I slide the button to the left, the prongs come out that allow you to plug this right into the wall and recharge the battery. So that was pretty neat. I don't need this extra cord to plug it in. So once I retract that, on the side, I've got a switch. Then there's a two-position switch. The first switch brings it all the way up to the voltage part. So if I was to press the button... can you hear that? That scares the heck out of me. Now, if you don't want to use that, you can just use the flashlight by going one switch up. And this all comes from Centix Tactical. Now, everything I can think of has got a flashlight. Clocks have flashlights. Hats have flashlights. Zappers have flashlights. Now, I guess this way you can see in the nighttime where you're going to zap them, because they're going to hear this. That's going to hurt. Anyway, three great products, secondary types of self-defense or restraint. And you can find them all at Centix Tactical Gear in Temple on West Adams. So go check them out. Go to CentixTacticalGear.com. You'll like what they've got. They got a lot of great stuff, a lot of great prices. Okay, with that, we're going to move on to our topic of interest section. And I don't know if you've heard before, but we've got Con Tatum on, and he's been on some of the talk shows before, and I've heard him, and he sounds like, you know, I like this guy. I want to talk to him. So I brought him on into the studio. And Con, why don't you come on into the video here so people can see, and say hello to the audience there.
Well, good evening, audience. I'm privileged to be here with Matt. I hope that either one of us can say something that might spur a little bit of thought with people.
Now, many out there, you can recognize that voice. I'm so tempted just to scream out, "Con!" for all you Trekkies out there. Anyway, This is what I want to talk about. This country, the United States of America, has a deadly disease, Con. It's called political correctness. And with me today, with you, we're going to talk about it. And the thing about political correctness, it's a cancer because you're afraid to say anything. And if you're afraid to say anything, the truth doesn't get out there. And when the truth doesn't get out there, people can distort it and come up with their own truth. So we're going to talk about this. And people say, well, what am I? I'm only one person. What can I do to change what's going on out there? And this is what I tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one person. And I got a radio show, and I'm talking to thousands of people. And I just decided to go do it. Get up and do something. Be an active participant. If you don't like what's going on, you've got to stand up and say something about it. You cannot be worried about political correctness. So, Con, I want to open this up with you by showing you this article. And we're just going to start having an open discussion. I don't even have questions for you. We're just going to talk because we had such an easy conversation before. I pulled this out of a newspaper, and it's from California, of course. It says, Governor bans Redskins name at public schools. It says, the mascot legislation signed Sunday will prevent public schools from using a term that American Indians regard as offensive. I don't understand that. I was just making a comment here. You know, if you go back in history, the Americans, the Indians lost the wars, okay? So what happens when you lose a war? You kind of get faded into history. And here you have Redskins being used as a prideful name, a way to say, hey, these are who we are. So if they eliminate this now, then we're not going to know about Redskins at all. So what's your thought on that, Con?
Well, my first thought is, do you remember Rome when they were playing the fiddle while Rome burns?
Yep.
Is this the most problems that we have to face in this country is worrying about somebody having a football team named the Redskins? If that's all we've got to think about, we need to go find a job somewhere.
Well, then tell me what you think. What can somebody do? What can somebody do and be active to overcome this barrier, overcome this sickness of political correctness? What can we do?
What we're doing right now. What I do is if I go to the restaurant to eat breakfast, I visit with people about political correctness or about voting on something or your right to vote or your participation in civic affairs. If I go to buy diesel fuel at the service station, the man next door or pumping from the other pump, I visit with him. So the biggest weapon that we have is spreading knowledge of what's going on in our country. If I tell you something, if I plant a seed for thought in your brain, and you plant a seed for thought in his brain, and he plants it in 10 people's brains, that's how you affect change. And it's the only weapon that I have. I'm not Donald Trump. I don't have billions of dollars. I can't spend that much money, but I can talk.
I think there's something else to it. You're planting a seed, but it's got to be watered. I think part of the water is showing, leading by example, not only just speaking what you know, because I want to bring this up too. You got all these talking heads out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a talking head. I'm a doer. All I do is I hear what they're saying, and then I go apply that into action. I don't say, okay, we all agree. Okay, now keep doing what you're doing, the same thing as usual. You've got to plant the seed, like you just said, at the gas pump or wherever you are, and talk to that person. But if they see you doing it with action, I believe that's the water to help them to get the nerve to do it themselves. What do you think about that?
Well, and two, I have a problem with people, politicians, whoever it may be, who continually speak with what I call $10 words. Just for example, if you say someone might conceivably be disingenuous in his statement to so-and-so, how many truck drivers, plumbers, carpenters, farmers knows what that means?
He's lying.
If you say he is a blind dog, they know what that means. The scriptures do not say thou shalt not be disingenuous. They say thou shalt not lie. That's pretty plain. So I think if we speak plainly, using plain, old-fashioned English language, then we're a lot more effective than if we try to demonstrate our fabulous vocabulary with all of these $10 words.
Yes, sir. I'm a 50-cent word guy myself, okay? All right, so here we have all these politicians. They're in office. We put them there, okay? It seems as though once we put them in there, we think they're going to run on automatic. It just seems that a most major crisis now we're all becoming aware, but they're making decisions that you and I, the normal guy, the 50-cent guys, look at and say, that's crazy. How did you look at somebody making these decisions and you just scratch your head and people don't do anything or they complain too much and they don't go put it to action? How do you get them to action? I mean,
people always say, well, we can't beat him. He's got a war chest of $600 million, whatever it might be. I would say to you what my grandmother said to me a long, long time ago. Can't never could do nothing.
That's right.
So if we assume we can't beat that politician, we're wrong. If you put enough feet on the bricks out there, carrying his opposition's business card, whatever it may be, you don't have to contribute big money, but put your feet on the ground out there and get out there and beat that sucker.
Let's talk about Trump for a second. Just because the man speaks what he thinks, he's not backed by anybody's money but his own. So if you were to use that in this conversation about how he talks straight and direct, have you noticed that a major portion of the U.S. populace is saying, I like this guy. He's telling it the way it is. Somebody's finally saying something. And it's compared to some other politicians who will skirt and say, well, I don't know about that. We might have to check this out or study it because they're worried about their finances coming in, right?
Well, the population is hungry for the truth, I believe. I have been saying for several years that when we sacrifice truth at the altar of political correctness, we're making a very, very bad mistake. And I think Donald Trump has enough money that he can afford to just speak the truth. And if it offends somebody, then so be it. So much of politics now is they are so afraid of violating political correctness that they won't tell the truth. They just lie like a dog.
That's right. It's I believe Trump is, you know, people say, well, he's giving money to these people and giving money to these people. He's a sales. He's a businessman. He's like, hey, man, I want to build a building. Okay, you need some money. Here you go. He finally realizes, in my opinion, he finally realizes that you guys are sinking the ship. I need to come in here, square you guys away so we can keep business as usual without sinking the ship. And these other people want to continue business as usual, like you're saying, and we're just going to head down a slippery slope of oblivion. So hopefully we can turn this around. That's why we talk about it like this on the show, ladies and gentlemen, to get you up and active in society and do like Khan says, you're talk to the person at the gas pump, talk to the person in the cashier line, tell them what you know and lead by example. And you can lead by example in your churches and in your organizations, and they can see, hey, this is a person that is knows what they're talking about, knows what they're doing, and is actually putting into place or into action what they speak, right?
One reason I talk so much to people is very often I'm speaking to someone who is not well versed in the subject. A school bond or whatever the subject may be. And I give some examples, common sense, common man examples, and I see the light come on. You can recognize his acceptance of that point.
Do you have an example?
If you're just looking at his eyes, I was just talking to a man not long ago who is of Hispanic descent, and he said, well, we have got to have more labor here from South America, Central America. We've got to have the labor to build the roads, roof the houses, etc. I said, okay, we might need more labor. Why don't we stop paying people not to work? If you pay people not to work, why do you expect them to work? We can get the same labor if we just stop paying people not to work in this country. And you could see the light come on. And I said, understand something. And I gave the analogy of the Titanic and the lifeboat. If you were on the Titanic, it sunk. You're the captain of a 50-man lifeboat. How many people are you going to put in your lifeboat? Understand, if you put 75, you're going to sink the boat.
That's right.
That's the way America is. America is the lifeboat to the world. You have got to limit how many people you put in this lifeboat, or you're going to sink the boat called America.
That's why I brought up Trump. I believe he's seen that, and he wants to stop the ship from sinking.
Yeah.
So,
when I said that, you could see that Hispanic man, you could see the light come on. And he understood, he agreed, and he knew what I was talking about.
All right, well, Con, look, time flies by real quick. I've got to move on to another segment. Tell me something, tell the people something out there that you got the opportunity, the mic here. Get 30 seconds, what do you want to say to get them moving, get them in the right direction, or just give them your thoughts? What do you got?
Go to work. I was raised with the work ethic. If I am standing here and I see you picking up something that's too heavy, I help you pick it up because I was raised with the work ethic. I was raised not to stand by and let you do everything. So I would teach my children two things. I would teach them how to work, and I will teach them what no means. If you teach them how to work, they'll always make a living and provide for the family. If you don't teach them what no means, there's a place in Huntsville called the Texas Department of Corrections. They'll teach them all about what no means.
That's right.
So you've got two very important things to do with your children. Teach them how to work and teach them what no means. And don't wait until they're 20 years old to teach them how to work. When you go to the grocery store, give them a sack of sugar to carry or something that weighs a pound or two. And don't put them in the basket and wheel them around. Let them walk. Let them carry something. Teach them the work ethic.
That's such an amazing phenomenon. It's a concept I never thought of. Work. That's great. Very good. I like it. Con, thank you very much. I've got to move on to the next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about another product from Blackjack Firearms. We're going to be talking about the backup iron sights or backup sights. And my good friend John from Blackjack Firearms, he literally should have a restaurant, not a gun shop. And I say that kiddingly because when getting an AR built by Blackjack Firearms, you can pick and choose whatever you want, like picking from a restaurant menu. He literally can build you whatever you want when it comes to the AR platform. The menu item we're going to be talking about today are the flip-up and offset sights. Now, both of these have specific purposes. So John has sent me an email explaining all this, so I'm just going to read that because it's very clear and thorough. So get your pens and paper ready. If you've got an AR platform or you're thinking about getting one, this can help you out a lot, okay? So let me read this email from John from Blackjack Firearms concerning AR sights. When it comes to sights for the AR platform, you have many more options than just the old carrying handle. With rifles coming standard with the Picatinny rail on the receiver, and many if not most ARs coming without a front sight of any kind today, we will discuss a few of the options available from Blackjack Firearms. First, let's discuss gas blocks. The gas block will come in one of five configurations. The traditional fixed front sight, built-in fold-down front sight, a standard gas block rail, a high gas block rail, or a profile block without a rail or sight. If you have the fixed front sight or a sight like the Yankee Hill that folds out of the way but is still part of the gas block, then your sight will be permanently fixed to the barrel of your rifle. However, if you have a railed gas block, then it is important to know if you have the standard height or the high rail. This is easy to spot by looking at the gas block in the forearm from the side. If the rail is level with the top of the upper receiver, then you have the high rail. If it is lower than the upper receiver rail in the forearm, then you have the standard height. If you have the low profile gas block, it is designed to not have anything attached to it, and your only option is, if you want to have a front sight, is to use your railed handguard. Now, Blackjack Firearms carries UTG and Magpul sights. All the sight options we'll discuss today are fully adjustable for windage and elevation and can be zeroed just like to the traditional AR sights. You will hear the terms BUS or BUIS when talking about iron sights for the ARs. These stand for backup sights or backup iron sights, respectively. Most people consider and optics as your primary sight, and with the sights we are about to discuss as backups. Now, UTG front sights come in two heights, the standard and low profile. The standard is designed to fit on the standard gas block, and the low profile is designed to fit on the high gas block or rail on the forearm. Both of these fold down and out of the view of the optics. UTG rear sights come in either fixed or fold-down configurations. The fixed sights look good and works well on rifles that have fixed front sights on your rifles that you want a co-witness on, or if you're not planning on using an optic. The fold-down sights mounts with the same thumb screw as the fixed sight, but folds down and lays lower to the top of the receiver. When you want to use the sight, you simply put it into position and it's ready for use. Now, Magpul offers both polymer and metal sights, and by far, Magpul polymer sights are the most popular ones sold by Blackjack Firearms. They fold down and are spring activated by simply pushing an ambidextrous lever on the sides of the sight when you want to use them. When folded down, they are much more streamlined than the UTG sights and are a better looking sight in general. They also come in a choice of colors: black, gray, flat dark earth, OD green, and foliage green. The polymer Magpul front sight is designed to be used on a forearm or should not be used on a gas block, as the heat from the gas block can damage the sight. The Magpul metal sights are the most expensive of the sights we'll discuss today. They come in two configurations, fold down and 45 degree offset. The fold-down sights are low-profile like the Magpul polymer sights and are corrosion-resistant. The front sight can be mounted on a high gas block or forearm of a rifle. They are not spring-activated and do look different than the polymer sights. They only come in basic black. The 45-degree offset sights are fixed sights that, when mounted to your rails, the sights sit on the side of your rifle at a 45-degree angle. This allows you to use the optic as your primary sight, but if the optic becomes non-functional or if you choose to use your iron sights, by slightly turning your rifle, you now can use them. They cannot be co-witnessed, but are a quick way to have backup sights without having them in the sight plane of an optic or having to remove your hands from the rifle to pop them up. So if you got any questions on that, feel free on your AR and your sights, feel free to go to blackjackfirearms@gmail.com. Send them an email at blackjackfirearms@gmail.com, or you can just go to their website, bjfirearms.biz. But in addition to that, I drew a couple pictures here. I'll try to explain them. The first one is the flip-up sights. If you can see it on the screen here, what I'm trying to show is picture the top of a rifle, and in the front and the back, you got your sights. Well, these flip-up sights lay down smooth, nice and flat. When you decide to use them, you pop them up, and it turns into a right angle. The sight turns into a right angle. The lower base is connected to the gun. The vertical post is the part that you look through. And then you're able to get your sight plane as you look through the hole and aim on your target. The third one is showing a co-witness of a red dot, will say, in the middle, in between the front and the rear sight, so that you can look through your rear sight, actually see through the optic, and then see the front sight. That's called co-witnessing. In case the optic goes bad, you just take it off, or you can continue to look right through it and still have iron sights. The offset sights, if you can see this on the video, I drew a picture of a rifle from the rear. You're seeing the buttstock, and you can see the scope mounted on top. And on the side are the offset sights. So if you can see this on the screen, I would tilt my gun so I would be able to aim with the iron sights and do a quick shot, as compared to having to look through my iron or my my scope, which would be a little bit more difficult, especially at closer ranges. So there you have it. Go to Blackjack Firearms. Or bjfirearms.biz, check out their website, check out all they have to offer, and you can look at those things. Like I said, he's got a menu, like a restaurant, all the things you can pick for your weapon. Okay, enough of that. We're going to go to a gun demonstration. Actually, I'm almost out of time here. Time goes by really quick. So what I'm going to do is read a couple of Foxtrot moments to you that I thought were pretty interesting. Paul, how much time I got? 2 minutes. I'll read one. This one here is old in its date, but it's still fresh in the memory. University holds forum on concealed guns. The University of Texas is trying to figure out where weapons might still be banned. The way they write that, it's like they're so aggressively into banning guns. They're so afraid of the gun, the piece of metal that does nothing. It's the person. I highlighted something else. By a large margin, most speakers favored the sharpest limits possible, as students, faculty, and parents said they are worried about potential violence. Here's a quote. My son is here to learn and grow. He's here to worry about grades and worry about girls. He should not have to worry about whether the person sitting next to him or living next to him in the dorm has a gun. She was in fear for her child's life, and she's in fear for her husband's life who works there. Lady, I'd be in fear going into a gun-free zone, because any nutcase can say, hey, where there's a gun-free zone, that means I'm going to have unrestricted access to hurt as many people as I can. Introducing guns into the classroom undercuts open scholarship, said graduate student John Brandt, one of the speakers who wore a bright orange t-shirt with the slogan, Gun-Free UT. Classrooms should be treated as a sanctuary. It is treated as a sanctuary. A sanctuary to the nutcase who wants to come in and kill as many people as they can, cowering in the corner of the room because they're afraid to get up and advance and knock down the shooter. So that's a couple of WTF moments. I hope you like them. Time's ticking away. So ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to say is we're going to be back next week. We'll be going over more highlights, more special products, more special guests. So go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and check out all we have to offer. And don't forget the radio page at the bottom. We've got our calendars. Go ahead and purchase as many as you can. That helps support the radio show. So until next week, God bless. Talk to you soon.